Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
He told the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." When Jesus died, he led captivity captive, and they ascended upon high. Literally, he emptied the underworld of the believers, and now they're in the presence of heaven in God. Are you following? They're in the presence of God in heaven. But before his death, they were all in the underworld, in the grave. Are y'all following? Anyway, that's just a sideline. That's another whole story. But don't let anybody tell you Jesus went into hell. It's heresy, preaching to those, you know, when we read in Peter, literally they could see what was taking place as the rich man and Lazarus taking place. They could see what was taking place. And literally they were looking there seeing Jesus. It's awful saying, "I told you so." He didn't say that, but you understand. When he said he preached unto them, it's true. It's true. Anyway, let's move on. Verse number 10. Look at this one. "Yet it pleased the Lord, Jehovah God, God Almighty, the Father, to bruise him." The word "pleased" here means that he takes delight. Temple, I don't understand that. I know what it says. I don't know anybody that could understand this. How God took delight and pleasure in the place in the iniquity and of all the sins of the world upon his own Son. "He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Look at this, and we're going to go back to Revelation. "He shall see the travail, the hard labor of his soul. God shall see his Son and shall be satisfied." He'll be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." My, oh my, what we just read. Why is that so important about in Revelation 14, where God pours out that unmitigated wrath? Because what happened at the cross of Calvary, when God's wrath was poured out upon his Son, we just read it. I don't understand it. Since they rejected, Jesus paid that price for us. Since they rejected that price, they're going to pay it. What he poured on Jesus Christ, it's going to be. Again, don't think I'm a heretic. Jesus' wrath upon Christ, we read in Isaiah, was unmitigated. He didn't hold it back because the sin of mankind was placed upon him. Again, I don't understand it. I just know what the Bible says. And because of that, in Revelation 14, God said, "You rejected my Son, and I'm pouring it all out on you." Are you following the thought? Revelation 14. Notice this again, verse number 11. "And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever." There's no such thing as annihilation. A lot of people think when you're dead like Rover, you're dead all over. I mean, that's the end of you. No, no, no. Noel was here last week. He'll probably hear today, maybe, because you know, most of y'all, we have some visitors. Noel was a deacon in our church. He has a wonderful wife named Peggy, and Peggy's homebound now, and he sits with her 24 hours a day. Only time he gets out of the house is when he comes to church, and he may be here this morning. I don't know if he's able to leave Peggy. But anyway, he said last week, he made that statement that we're going to live forever. Y'all might not. I remember him praying that we're going to live forever somewhere. Do you know we're going to live forever somewhere? Believers are going to live forever with the Lord. Unbelievers are going to live forever in the regions of the doomed and the damned. The Bible says forever and forever, their torment. God would not allow them just, what's done, no. Forever and ever, their torment. And the thing about the smoke of their torment, I take it literally. I believe it's going to be literal fire. I don't think of it symbolic. Think of literal brimstone. The smoke, too many references here in Scripture about fire, brimstone, as we read. I'm one of them crazy believers who talk about the worm dieth not. Preacher, you're crazy. I may be a nut, but I'm on the right bolt. What a horrible thing to think forever and forever, because they rejected Christ. And what's true of them has been true for any Christ rejecter. Folk, that ought to stir our soul about telling people about Jesus Christ. And notice, I circled this in my Bible, verse number 11. I circled these two words, no rest. Remember the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what happens if you don't come to Jesus and take his rest? There'll be no rest. So I strongly advise you while you can to come to Jesus for his rest. Because here the Bible says they shall have no rest day or night. What does that mean literally? Forever. It never stops. You cannot get any relief from this. Who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. I know this is referring in the last half of the tribulation. This angel's flying around. Don't receive that mark. If you do, you're doomed. If you do, you're doomed forever. But it also applies to any unbeliever. Okay. And then verse number 12, we see the death of the saints. We see the doom of the rejectors. Here's the death of the saints. And here's the patience of the saints. The word patience is an interesting word. It's that word hupomone, something like that, hupomone, I don't know. It literally means to endure under pressure, to be steadfast. So during the tribulation period, these believers, they're standing fast. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith, notice this, of Jesus. Even in the tribulation period, these people are going to believe in Jesus. It's always the same. Faith in Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. So in the tribulation period, these believers, they keep that faith of Jesus. And then verse number 13, and we'll close. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write." Now this, again, is interesting to me, a voice from heaven. The word write is mentioned 12 times in the book of the Revelation, 12 times. John was told to write in Revelation 1:11, Revelation 1:19. That's when he said, "John, I want you to write these things. I want you to write these things." That's when he was first told John to write. And then he told him to write the seven churches and the different seven churches. He said, "No, write into the church of Ephesus, into the church of these other churches, Thyatira, Laodicea, write into the churches of these." And then the other times he said, write, I believe, we said it here, and then go with me this is an interesting one. Chapter 21, verse number 5. I love this. Chapter 21 and verse number 5. Another time he tells them to write. John sees the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And John is describing it. And he sees it. And he says in verse number 5, "He that sat on the throne, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are faithful and true." Why does he keep telling John to write? Because he's so enthralled with what he is seeing, he forgets to write these things down. I guess so. He sees that throne of God coming from heaven and that new Jerusalem. Wow! And God said, "John, write it down, write it down." It's the same thing that's taking place here in Revelation chapter number 14. He sees all this taking place, and John, he has to remind John to write. And what am I supposed to write, Lord? Well, write this. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may," and I circled this word in my Bible, "rest." What a difference. Unbelievers, just a couple verses earlier, there was no rest. But for believers, they found rest from their labors. And then notice this, "and their works do follow them." Their works do follow them. What does that mean, their works do follow them? They're dead. What are you talking about, their works do follow them? Two things. Number one, they've set examples for those to follow. Okay? They've been examples to others. I'm going to mention here this morning in Mother's Day, like Mother's Day's message, about people in the past who now are in heaven, and their works do follow them.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.